on a string, like slow speed. From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, it's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. I am Mr. 100 for another 30 days at least. Down at the end of the table, we've got Asa Gray. He's the Five Star Man.
I'm trying to think of the name of the show that you wanted to change this show to. But Allie, like, I don't believe that Allie's not actually having to work. I think she lied to us.
Well, to keep us from
renaming the show.
Yeah, that also included Dalton, and it was it three godless sodomites and the unreasonable.
No, I don't think it was godless. I don't think it was godless sodomite. But it was something in the unreasonable woman. So I don't think I'm willing to bet Allie's not actually at work.
She's at work. She's working. It's
legal. She just didn't want to be on a show with that name.
No, the more,
which is fair.
The cruder the show is, the more people like it. And I want to thank everyone that has taken up the cause of the godless sodomites in the past couple of weeks. Ever since we introduced it on, I think it was a what
show
was it?
I think I'm pretty sure it was PW. We were talking about it.
I have seen that term thrown around so much more since then, and people I know and love like Austin Lane. We love Austin Lane. He has really taken a shine to godless sodomites. I used it on KFES12's site. They posted a thing on Facebook about how people don't change their underwear every day. A new study shows like 50% of people don't or something like that. So I posted a reply that just said, "That's what you get for taking God out of school." Which
you probably got like 1,000 heart reacts.
I got
amen, brother.
I got a couple people that posted and the opposite. They didn't realize I was being dickish, and they're just like, "What does that have to do with anything? This is just people trying to start a fight." So then I just took it further and I just called them godless sodomites, and no one picked up on it.
No, because the problem is, look at the internet. You can't tell if someone's being serious or not.
And my favorite thing is that every time I would reply to the people and I would like call them a godless sodomite, I would always plug a food and tag Chick-fil-A Cape Girardeau in it. So I would say something like, oh, yeah, that's typical liberal thing. You godless sodomite. What you should do is go to tag Chick-fil-A and try their, like, I would work the joke into it, and they would still reply like I was being serious. And I'm like, okay, I've now tagged Chick-fil-A and I'm talking about their product. Clearly this is a joke. Come on, man. Damn snowflakes everywhere. It's cold. It's cold on the internet. Anyway, that's how we start the show. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Allie, by the way, is gone. She's not here. Mm-hmm. Jesse Kimmel was going to be on the show tonight. He actually just messaged me back. He was at the gym when I asked him. Mm-hmm. So I apologize to Jesse. I wish we could have had him on. Although I'm sure a lot of the stuff that we're talking about today, you guys did cover a lot of Gamescom on Nerd Up.
Yes.
And I'm sure Jesse is chomping at the bit to talk about Spider-Man thing, mm-hmm. which you guys, I'm sure, will talk about on Sunday, which may have new
which likely isn't going to be the same story that came out today.
Right, because here's the story as of right now is that Spider-Man is out of the MCU. We're going to be talking about that here a little bit later. We're also going to be talking about Apex Legends and Respawn getting a little bit of hot water. And GameStop announced today a 14% of their total corporate workforce, layoffs, including half of the Game Informer's staff. Which is absolutely insane.
Yeah, half of the editorial staff.
Yeah, and we're gonna be talking about that today. So let's just get to it. Also,
stop it.
Make sure you head over to Phil. Damn, what is it?
DeFranco.chrome.gg.
I think it's Phil.chrono.gg.
It sounds like a website that if you type into your address bar, your antivirus is gonna pop up.
I guess that depends on if you like Philly D. We know one person who can't listen to Philly D because it gives them too much anxiety. Let's start by talking about GameStop and Game Informer. As you all should know, at least most of you know, I myself was a GameStop employee for 7 years. I started as assistant manager, and I went back and forth between manager and assistant manager whenever they wanted me to. I have talked about GameStop in the past here on the show. Not all of it's good. But not all of it's bad either. Mm-hmm. I worked there for 7 years, and short of a handful of interactions I had with customers that I really hated, I generally enjoyed my time at GameStop. But I think that was at a store level.
Right.
On a corporate level, I've always disliked a lot of their business practices and how they conduct themselves. And you can go back and listen to, I think we've done at least 3 or 4 shows about it. We've had other GameStop employees on here, and we've all kind of spilled the beans a little bit about our time at GameStop. So I'm not going to rehash stuff that we've talked about before. You can find that. on Podzilla1985.com. You can go back through the old stuff. Well, we had Retail Hell episodes where we talked about GameStop, and they were a lot of fun. But today, and for the past couple of months, the big rumor is that GameStop is kind of circling the drain, that this is the last stand of GameStop as a physical company.
Yeah, they've been in rough shape for a while now.
They posted, I think, $500 million loss last year. I think it was last year. And their efforts to find a buyer for GameStop failed.
I was going to say, didn't they just ultimately give up?
Yeah, they could not find a buyer for GameStop. You would think that that was bad enough. GameStop stocks have been down. The company has talked about restructuring. They're going to be focusing more on live events and kind of a culture thing, which is cool. I mean, I don't mind that, especially in the wake of stores like Hastings going out of business, Toys R Us. Like, there's a spot for especially stuff like that. And then beginning of August, they announced, well, actually they didn't announce it. It was kind of leaked that they had laid off like 150 people, all corporate, not corporate, but like district managers.
Yeah, it was like district
leaders. I'm sorry. They renamed them for some reason. District leaders and regional leaders, loss prevention, that kind of stuff. They let a bunch of them go. And then today it was announced that they had let go of a bunch of corporate positions and half the editorial staff of Game Informer. Now, for those of you that don't know, Game Informer is their... I don't remember when they bought them, or maybe they always had them. I'm actually not sure, because I was actually working at GameStop when I found out that GameStop owned Game Informer. I didn't know. I just thought they worked together. But if you've ever been to a GameStop and they've asked you to subscribe and all that stuff, you obviously know what Game Informer is. It's a pretty good gaming magazine.
It's a great gaming magazine. Yeah. Like, I love Game Informer. It's one of the things that, like, I had a Game Informer subscription for years.
I still have one.
Through high school and parts of college, depending on if I was buying a game or not, because I was even more broke in college.
Yeah.
But I love their content. I love their website. They put out a lot of really good video content as well recently. And it's one of the, like, this is the part that you never want to see anybody lose their jobs.
No.
Like, especially in a situation like this where it's, you know, it's no one who got laid off today is at fault for
GameStop's woes.
For what's going on, truly.
Right.
So it's, which that said, just real quick to put in a little note on that, for 2018, GameStop reported net sales down 3% to $8.29 billion.
Wow.
So that's what they made. It was down, but they also, let's see, what does it say? While the previous year's net profit of $34.7 million had turned into a record $673 million net loss. So they're not making money. They're still, like, selling a lot. It's just...
The expenses are so high.
Because it also, you know, we've talked about it before, but, like, why does Paducah need two GameStops?
Yeah.
That are literally less than a mile away from each other?
Yep. I mean, hell, whenever I worked at GameStop, EB Games, which was bought under the GameStop radar, mm-hmm. was literally across the hall.
Right.
And the only reason they shut it down was because the pay at that mall, like, the rent was so incredibly high, there was no reason to keep two open. So instead they put one out, and then they moved another one in over by the Walmart here in Cape Girardeau. But if they could have afforded to, they would have kept both stores open across from each other.
Which is insane.
Which is,
like,
insane.
That's just cost. Like, there's not, I don't get that. But anyway, so I always loved Game Informer a lot, and I still do. Like, I will go and read certain articles. A lot of their cover stories are the only place you're going to get information. And it's that difficulty of physical magazines are slowly, or not so slowly, coming to an end.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, it's the age of digital.
It really is. And someone on Reddit posted a really good point of, it's just like, they really had a great opportunity to kind of rotate from being a physical print magazine exclusively to becoming more of a personality-based content creator, web creator forum. Kind of like an Easy Allies or Kind of Funny or things like that, because you have someone like Andy McNamara who's been the editor-in-chief at Game Informer for 15 years, however long it's been open, to now. But then you have all of those, you know, really good editors, including some who lost their jobs today. And then you also have a really pretty strong web presence.
Yeah.
Like, especially if they teamed up with, which, and this goes into the whole, like, I don't know if they're allowed to, but, like, because, you know, there would be certain ethical questions of a GameStop-owned company starting to work with, like, IGN type deal. But
Well, it would be the first time, though.
I mean, not at all.
You know.
But it's just, it's, I was like, when I read that, because I follow a handful of the editors on Twitter, and at work today, I'm just scrolling through, and I see, like, Imran Khan was the first one that I saw say that he no longer had a job. And I was like, what? And then more and more and more, like, 3-4 more people are just like, well, we got laid off today. And Andy McNamara put out a really nice, like, I know a lot of people are looking for me to comment, but right now I'm trying to take care of my family.
Yeah.
My Game Informer family, and I'm trying to do anything I possibly can for these people who are now suddenly without a job.
Right.
And I'm trying to, you know, Jason Schreier has also, like, he's like, we're not hiring at Kotaku now, but we hire freelancers all the time, you know.
And
then that also kind of transformed into a, hey, unionize.
That,
because this should not be allowed.
That's a big thing. Whenever I worked at GameStop, the digital stuff, and like Kotaku and places like that, mm-hmm. whenever I worked at GameStop originally, there was not a gigantic online presence for like gaming,
right.
Magazine type mm-hmm. stuff. I grew up in the 90s. So I grew up with GamePro. I grew up with
EGM
and stuff like that. And I love them. I have a collection of them. Nintendo Power, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like in my quote unquote game room, I have an entire shelf filled with those books. I love them. I still remember whenever I worked at GameStop in the mall, we got the newest Game Informer in. And when I popped open the box, it was the reveal for Ghostbusters. So the cover was literally just the black with the Ghostbusters logo. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited. There's a feeling you get from that you don't get with digital. But now there is so much in the digital space that I always wondered how Game Informer stayed going for so long. I didn't even realize they had a big online presence. I thought they were still physical magazine.
It's not big. But they definitely do, like, they have podcasts, they have
which is really the way to go.
Video exclusives, right. Like things like that, which is great. And I enjoy some of their stuff, but they don't have like the Greg Miller or the Jeff Gershom, the guy who does started Giant Bomb.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not big on Giant Bomb.
Like they don't have that kind of like focal individual who can you immediately associate with,
right.
With Game Informer, which they could, but like I said, but maybe if GameStop, but if they're owned by GameStop,
yeah.
You know, if the magazine is really, it's because it's the weirdest, because I don't understand, I'm not smart enough to understand their business model,
yeah.
But like you're not paying for a subscription for Game Informer. You're paying for your power up card.
No, the exact opposite.
Really?
The exact opposite. In fact, it is such, and anybody that works at GameStop that's listening or has worked,
just like knows is what I'm talking about. Is pulling their hair out,
yeah,
how wrong I was.
They hammer it into your head. When you talk to customers about this, you are not selling a card. You are selling a subscription to Game Informer. The card is a bonus. And that's how we pitched it, because I remember
literally anyone at GameStop who has ever sold me, like when what's your name, like lied to my face about,
yeah.
Hey, you would have saved X amount of money. Like, I don't think that's true.
Right.
When she was trying to get me, she didn't even mention Game Informer.
No, because no one ever bought it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Jesse was on here, or Lindsay, or Double H, or you know, one of those guys, mm-hmm. or Kevin, to talk about how many people would get the card and then would have the magazine sent to the store because they didn't want it.
I distinctly had the last time that I signed up for the Power Up card, it was pulling teeth to get a physical copy,
yeah.
sent to my house.
Yep. They want to do digital.
They were outright trying to tell me they could not give me,
yeah.
a physical subscription. I had to get it online.
Dude.
And I didn't want it online.
No,
I want the physical
thing. Yeah, there's something about physical that you don't get with digital.
It was Game Informer, at least in the GameStops that I have been to, was such an afterthought. They were after the card.
Yeah.
The membership. This is how much money you would be saving.
Well,
this
that's because that's the selling point. Nobody, right. wanted, if I approached a customer and said, you know, today, if you spend $15 on this magazine subscription, you'll get this card that will save you this much money.
Mm-hmm.
No one bought it. But if you lead with, well, you guys will save this much money today with this card and you get this bonus subscription.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, GameStop, they wanted the exact opposite. They wanted you to pitch the magazine because I guess they were trying to just really push the magazine.
Yeah.
Which
is good and they should, but it's the problem with that is how many, like the two of us, and honestly, like the majority of people listening to this right now, they're maybe not this show necessarily, but like anyone who listened to Nerd Up last night, to
mm-hmm.
listen about Gamescom, to listen about the Nintendo Indie World, about the comic news, whatever. That is such a niche audience.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying, because the majority of people you're having to sell that card to are
parents, grandparents,
parents, yeah. buying it for their kids,
yep.
or the people who come in who buy maybe Call of Duty, Madden, and NBA.
Right.
They maybe buy three games a year, if just one. They don't care about a magazine about video games. Because they don't play a lot of games outside of, you know, the two or three franchises that they know.
That's why it was so baffling. Like, I never understood it. And I, to this day, and maybe policy has changed. Mm-hmm. I'll have to check with some of my informants.
Right.
That I will not name ever. Yeah. But they put such an emphasis on the magazine versus card. I was specifically told, you will not mention the card. Because that's how I would lead. Mm-hmm. I would say, you guys could save money with this card today. No, you can't say that. You have to say, you get this magazine and you get this bonus card. And I always thought that was a missed opportunity. Because like you said, grandma comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Why does she care about getting a magazine subscription for stuff? She probably doesn't want to buy her grandkids in the first place.
Right.
She doesn't want to get them video games. She wants them to go outside and play.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to sell her more stuff on this.
And that's not just like a GameStop exclusive thing. That's a corporate thing. It was the exact same thing at Red Lobster. Like, oh no, you cannot say your name until you've said Fresh Fish.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa, or whatever.
Those little
things.
This is
the, like, you have to say, like, whenever you go out to eat at a restaurant, and you're like, wow, the server is still talking, they want to blow their brains out.
Oh, yeah.
Literally every time.
Yeah. Same thing at GameStop.
But they have to. It was the same thing at JCPenney. Trying to sell, trying to get people to sign up for those friggin' credit cards.
Yeah, that's why Lindsay worked at, I think it was Sears. It was either Sears or JCPenney, but when she still lived in Pennsylvania. And she quit because they started bringing these cards in that you had to push.
Yeah.
When I worked at Shoe Carnival, there was a free shoe rewards program that you had to push. GameStop was the absolute worst, though, because not only did you have to push the card, and there were subscriptions and reserves and stuff, but there was a percentage you had to hit. And from what I understand lately is that there's a guy on YouTube, I'm not going to say who it is because I don't entirely trust him, but I think most people know what I'm talking about, who gets a lot of this insider info. And one of the things he posted about a week ago is that there's such a huge emphasis now on reservations and the percentages have gone up and stuff like that.
Their requirements, yeah, like their goals for pre-orders and stuff like that.
It feels very desperate. And then when you see what happened today with that, it feels very much like GameStop is in dire straits, which if you go into a GameStop officially, you're crazy. you have no idea what you're talking about. Everything's fine. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. But in reality, they're probably panicking.
Yeah.
Panicking at a store level because the corporate fat cats, I mean, they're fine. Don't worry about them. But
they're going to make not going to take a bath. It's the store managers. It's the employees. Yeah. It's the hourly people.
It's the Game Informer people. Yeah. You know, it's the lower card people that are really suffering and are worried about their jobs right now. And I want GameStop to succeed.
You know, I do too. We joked about it last night on Nerd Up about, just, you know, don't go and, you know, go and pull your pre-orders because, you know, you're probably not even going to get your money back on them by the time they.
And I get where that joke's come from. Did you guys mention Game Crazy?
No.
Because that's what Game Crazy did. Game Crazy, which used to be in Hollywood Video, if you guys remember Hollywood Video, they were very similar to GameStop. And the one here in Cape, at least, I know the guy that managed it. Hunter knows the guys that managed it. This is what I'm talking about. He told me how Game Crazy was going out of business. I knew Game Crazy was going out of business a week before or somewhere around there, and you couldn't say anything. They were told not to tell anybody.
Right.
So whenever Game Crazy closed up its doors, literally all the pre-orders, everything that they had on order got lost. All the people that had spent money there. I had people calling GameStop because that's where I worked at the time.
Right.
They were calling GameStop trying to figure out how to get their money back from Game Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would direct them to corporate office. I think it was in St. Louis. There was an office for Hollywood Video. Mm-hmm. Call this number because I have read, because we got so many calls about it, we had to learn that they were issuing like gift cards or refunds or something, but you had to go through all these steps to do it. So I get being afraid that if GameStop goes down, they'll just take the money with them.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's what Dalton was talking about with Hastings, is he told the story about, you know, having action figures on pre-order, and they gave him, it was Marvel merchandise, and they gave him Five Nights at Freddy's stuff.
Which is just ridiculous.
Just because it was action figure. It was in the same category.
That's insane.
And it's one of those things where it's like, I told you before the show starts, like, if they pull that, like, with the, I have close to $200 pre-ordered worth of figures right now.
Right.
There's gonna be some fire set, and like, I will become very knowledgeable
again, not of the people on the store level.
No, but
not their fault.
I will make their lives hell until they give me the contact information of the people who I do need to.
It seems,
and then I'll leave them alone, and I will be as pleasant as possible. But at the same time, like, I'm not taking a $200 bath because you guys can't manage your, and not the store, but the, like, because this company
level.
Can't
because they made a lot of mistakes.
Spring Mobile.
Yeah, I mean, they bought a bunch of stuff. They expanded too hard. The same thing Stephen Barry's did. They got a good thing going, and they got more ambitious. Even Gaming Grounds. When Gaming Grounds opened up our second store here in Cape, everyone thought they're going to be rolling in the dough, including the owner. And we all hoped that. But I remember him asking me once before we opened, before we had even the location for the second store, he called me and he said, I'm thinking of getting the Blockbuster store. It was after Blockbuster went out of business. And he said, can you make three times what you make in Jackson per week if we open this? And I said, no.
Yeah, no.
I said, I'll try my hardest. But no. And thank God he didn't get it, because here we are on Broadway and we do okay, but sales are down everywhere, and they've definitely been down since we opened our second store. So ambition can sometimes bite you in the ass.
Well, and it's also, I think it's, if ambition has something to do with it, it also is their unwillingness to embrace the digital market.
Yes.
That is a huge deal.
Agreed.
And that has really, really kind of taken them out of the ankles. And now there's, you know, the stories of certain GameStops are going to end up as gaming hubs for esports and things like that. They want to make it more of a community-based area. And in theory, that's cool, but like that's kind of what we're going for here at Gaming Grounds, and that's not what happens.
Right.
Like we don't get that. Which granted, maybe it's just because the store doesn't push it as that aspect as much.
No.
But also, like, if you listen to anybody within esports, they do not understand how much money is there. Like, how there is this much money, because it's really not a lot.
Right.
There is not as much money in esports as they would like you to think there is.
Well,
because it always feels like it's this huge thing.
Well,
because
they do the big tournaments and checks and stuff.
Yeah, you know? And in reality, it's just like, nope, there's very little profit to be made here. It's all just, you know, making it look as hype and as crazy and legit as possible.
That's what you do, is you it's the old ECW thing of you don't show the bad stuff and you really hype up the good stuff. Yeah. You know, Paul Heyman was an expert at that.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in tomorrow for Pro Wrestling Unscripted. there's not a lot of money to be made in esports, and I think GameStop, it feels like they're just chasing the trends to try to catch up.
Right.
They want to catch up with the video game industry, because the video game industry is a very weird place right now, where you have collectors who want stuff physically. You have new gamers that don't care about physical. They want stuff as cheap as possible. There's a lot of stuff going around right now, and GameStop doesn't have an identity. They don't have an identity beyond everyone hates them. And I get why everybody hates them, because I worked there and everyone hated me when I worked there. Mm-hmm. And after I left, I realized a lot of the complaints that people had, opening new games and selling them as used, or I'm sorry, opening new games and selling them as new, hiding new games whenever they would go on sale because you're pushing the used product, because that's where GameStop makes all of its money. There's a lot of stuff about GameStop that is shady as hell, and I don't know how they got away with it. But as a whole, I really think video games needs a GameStop. Consumers need a GameStop. Like, Gaming Grounds will never be GameStop.
Right.
We'll never be that big. We'll never have deals with corporate people. We'll never be able to provide the services that they provide. And I'm the kind of person that I like physical things. I like physical books. I still get Game Informer magazine. Mm-hmm. I have a physical subscription. I like to go look at games. I like to pick up boxes and touch them and see them and stroke them when no one's looking. I can't do that digitally. Digitally's fine. Bob buys everything on Amazon.
It's super convenient, too. Like, that's my big thing, is now because I didn't shop at GameStop because I had the Best Buy Gamers Club unlocked.
Right.
20% off every new game I bought.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's a sweet deal.
I saved so much money.
It was too sweet.
Too sweet.
Too sweet.
It's ignorant, like, how much money I saved on that. And GameStop just had nothing that could compete with that.
Right.
So, well, now that that's ended, I was like, okay, well, I'll probably be done with Best Buy, because I'm a petty human, and, like, I'll probably switch back over. I'll probably go to GameStop, because I like going into the stores and looking around. I like looking at all the collectibles that I can't afford or don't have room to display or things like that. Seeing something like, oh, Dalton, I'm sure Dalton has already seen this, but just in case, I'll send it to him because he'll think it's neat, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like, you know, looking at boxes, reading the backs of boxes, being tempted by those used games, that's like, man, that's only $10.
Finding something that you didn't think you'd find, and like, oh, wow, like I found
they have that? Yeah.
Yeah, the Steelbook edition of Dragon's Crown on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
I found that at a GameStop, and it was like $15. And I was like, I like Steelbooks, and I was like, this is a great Steelbook. I'm going to pick this up. I wasn't looking for it, though.
Right.
So I would have never found it otherwise.
But at the same time, I think I'm probably not going to do GameStop as much as just like strictly digital. And I get that that's I'm part of the problem, but it's...
Well, is it a problem or is it just evolution? That's just
how, but it's just how things are because right. now it's like, oh man, you're telling me I don't have to like get... This is the most entitled first world problem ever, but like I genuinely hate getting up and swapping discs. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know what it is, but it's just like last night, I finally, after 93 hours, I finished Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I beat the story. I beat the main story. I didn't finish it.
I pressed F for respect.
And then I was like, okay, I'm done. I still got a couple hours before I'm going to go to sleep. Like, I'm going to go to bed. What do I want to do? Oh, I haven't played Nightwolf yet, the new Mortal Kombat character. Oh, I got to switch the discs.
Yep.
I literally didn't.
Yeah.
I ended up just playing Pokemon.
So this is a more extreme version of it. But.
Whereas now, and it's like, I mean, I'm thinking of like, man, if I do end up getting the new Pokemon, get the Sword or Shield when it comes out, I think I'm definitely going to get that digitally because that's probably I'm not going to want to swap out the cartridges right. and things like that. And same thing with like, oh, I was jumping back and forth between Horizon Zero Dawn and something on my PS4, and both of those games were digital. And I was like, man, this is just so convenient. And now with, like, I have the Stadia Founders Pack.
Well, that's what I did with Smash Brothers. I have it digitally because that's a game I know I'll always play, and it's at the go. Like I said, this is a more extreme version of it, but I was in my quote-unquote game room. I got a game room. It's very cool. I'll post pictures on Podzilla someday when it's done. And I wanted to play Red Dead, but my Red Dead with Bob, we were going to play Red Dead 2, but my Red Dead game was upstairs with my Xbox One case because I had it up there for some reason, and I didn't want to go upstairs and get it. So I didn't play it. I played something else instead. Or what was it? I had Fallout 76 digitally because there was some weird error that they had a free weekend. And ever since the free weekend, I could play it because I already had it installed because I owned it on disc. So I would just play it on Xbox One without putting the disc in. The moment that I got a new Xbox and the glitch didn't work anymore and I had to physically put the disc in to play it, I stopped playing it. As weird as that is, I was so lazy, I just stopped playing Fallout 76 because of that reason. But yeah, it's extremely convenient.
Yeah.
But it doesn't give me the same warm feeling.
No, I love having, you know? Like, I like steelbooks. I'm not as crazy as like you or Jesse. By any stretch. But Jesse. I mean, Jesse definitely.
Jesse
but,
for sure.
I like steelbooks. Like, I have a little mini collection of them that I have sitting, like Mortal Kombat, Division, Anthem. Well... Oh, I made myself
press F to pay respect.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting the Borderlands 3, like the Super Deluxe Edition comes with the steelbook for that.
Right.
So it's, I mean, it's cool to have and it's cool to display that. And then at the same time, also like, yeah, trade it, like, which granted, again, I trade it. If I trade in stuff, I trade it in here. Yeah. Just because it is like I get a better deal here than I would at GameStop.
We do. We do better prices, yeah.
But
for sure.
So, but it's that thing of just like, man, I really hope, I would love if just some... If something were to happen that, like, I'm trying to think. I have too many thoughts going at once.
I know.
Like,
this was going to be a 10-minute conversation. It's turned to a 31.
Yeah, we got other stuff we're going to talk about. Like, I miss Hastings and Toys R Us so much.
So much. Agreed.
Audra and I, on Saturday, she helped me pick out a suit for my uncle's funeral next month. So, and also just, like, I have grown out of all of my other, like, jackets and stuff.
Right.
Because I'm fat.
Hey.
So we picked that out. It went a little bit quicker than we thought. And then Jason messaged me about that trivia night that we ended up going to. And so we went and got lunch at Wendy's because the spicy nuggets are back.
I haven't tried them yet.
They're back.
I heard they're good. A lot of people have been talking about it.
Yeah, they're I mean, temper your expectations.
Okay.
Like, realistically, like... They're really good.
They're tasty.
Yeah, it's not, but it's not this magical, you know, mind blowing experience. It's no rib witch.
Yeah.
Think smaller.
Yeah.
More legs. So we're sitting at Wendy's, and we probably got like 30 minutes still before we really need to head to the place to trivia, and I look over and I just think, I miss Hastings.
Yep. This is the Hastings
time. Because we absolutely could just. Dick around for 30 minutes in Hastings, look easily. Around, grab, end up buying a movie that I didn't need or an action figure or something or a comic. Yep. And it's the same thing with Toys R Us. Like, Toys R Us was typically pretty overpriced. Like,
I typically
for a lot
bought
of their
things
stuff.
Less there than at Hastings, but.
But yeah, but it was the same thing of just like, I would just go and kind of like spend time and look at different things and just like, oh, see what new, like, even if it's franchises and things that I don't care about, like, I liked looking at the merch that they had.
Yeah.
Of just like, oh, they're putting out action figures for, you know, XYZ. That's weird, but okay, let's see what they, and like, just look at stuff like that. And, you know, GameStop is kind of now the last bastion of that. Best Buy has some collectible stuff. And,
I was gonna say, at least locally, because you can go to a St. Louis and V-Stock or Slackers, but I don't know if you go to V-Stock or Slackers very much, and this is going to be a shot against Slackers especially. I don't get the same feeling when I walk in there. V-Stock is the closest thing to Hastings, mm-hmm. but I don't know. It just doesn't give me the same feeling. Slackers is god-awful, at least the one in St. Louis. The South County Slackers, I think of the 500 times I've been in there, because we go, you know, just to look around, mm-hmm. I think I've been greeted once, mm-hmm. and no one ever talks to me.
Well, they're Slackers. It's part of the experience.
My mind just blew up there. Hastings, though, man, they just scratch that itch of... Go in, I could look at board games, I could look at movies, I could look at toys, music, books, and I enjoyed it, and I met a lot of good people there. That's where I met Dalton. Mm-hmm. It was just a fantastic experience, and GameStop is the closest thing to that now, here especially.
Yeah, and it's like towns like us and smaller, really, are, you know, it is kind of like it genuinely kind of upsets me a little at like the number of nerdy kids in these like smaller communities that don't really have anywhere to go. No. Like, and don't get me wrong,
digital.
It's never been a better time to like nerdy stuff, like because the internet and everything, and like they can go and make, you know, you can have online friends. But like there is something to be said about like
real things.
Real things, and like going to brick and mortar and places like that. So
plus I think nerdy kids could go to a brick and mortar store and enjoy themselves without the fear of anonymity and people being complete dicks online and trying to ruin their good time or mock or ridicule them.
And also it's, you know, different of, you know, going to, if you come to somewhere like Gaming Grounds, like no one is going to be in Gaming Grounds making fun of you.
Right.
For looking at video games.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you go to the Walmart and, you know, in some little town that doesn't have something like that, or a GameStop or anything like that, and
judgmental,
someone, you know, sees you looking at, or you know, the people that have, I've had more rude comments from workers than like, you know, peers or anything of buying video games or action figures or something.
Yeah,
like Dalton has that story about the lady at Walgreens, like, you're buying a doll,
yeah,
as he was buying like a Power Ranger action figure or something. It's just like, man, the stone's on you to question a paying customer. Yeah.
I will talk people out of purchases if it's bad. I would at least give them a warning. Mm-hmm. If you have my guarantee, if you bring up Two Worlds at Gaming Grounds, I will give you a lecture, and then you can base your decision on that. And I'll still sell it to you, but at least I tried.
Right.
GameStop is a necessary evil, and I don't want it to go out of business.
And it's the thing, too, of like, man, how great would it be if instead of, and I'm pulling this number, but like, and I'm assuming it's probably not as big of a divide, but you know there's a divide of like, instead of like the CEOs and like the people who are at the very top of the chain, like they're eating well.
Yeah. Well, they're cannibalizing their workers.
Right. Was it Sakurai that when the Wii U bombed, he slashed his own salary to make sure that no other
Iwata,
yeah. Yes. Yeah. He slashed his own salary to make sure that no one, like, to cover layoffs and like,
yep,
and salary cuts. Like, it's just, we have a fundamental issue with wealth,
cats.
and you know, the top 1%. And
that's why when Iwata passed away, the gaming community mourned.
Yeah.
When GameStop CEO passes away, you won't even hear about
who?
It. Exactly. Yeah.
Didn't he like quit and take like a huge bonus? Like he signed, like they got a new one and then he quit and took a signing bonus and then just left?
I'm pretty sure
like
they've gone through two presidents in the past couple of years, because everybody keeps trying to figure out, how can we save GameStop? Mm-hmm. How can we fix it?
Because there's something there.
There is. It's a special thing, and there is room for physical stores. Again, take any of the examples I gave. Anytime I've gone, I went to Hastings. I did Christmas shopping at Hastings, mm-hmm. and I would buy random things that I would see. Oh, Allie would like that. Lindsay would like that. Mm-hmm. But I can't do that digitally. I can't go to a website to look for a specific item and then find some completely random thing that I go, oh, that would
unrelated,
be nice too.
Yeah.
You have to look for those things online.
Everything is so like, oh, you're buying this specific thing. Well, what about this other very specific thing?
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, that's, you know, I've already got my thing, so right. Now I'm done.
But, you know, I could go to Hastings and go, oh, they have, I remember once there was like, oh, they have this Sailor Moon replica moon stick. I'll get that for Lindsay. That mm-hmm. She'll love that for Christmas. And then I turned around and they had like a Batman, old West Batman figure, like mm-hmm. super, super detailed. I was like, Allie loves Batman. I'll get her that. But if I bought a Sailor Moon Moonstick online, they're not going to go, hey, would you like to buy some Batman? The two of this don't go together. So, point is, our hearts go out to the people that lost their jobs.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to be fired from GameStop. I'm in a very special club along with some other people.
To be fair, though, like, these are wildly different circumstances.
Yeah, I had it coming. Let's just put it that way. It's one of my biggest regrets in life is the way that I handled. But I have no doubt that they would have fired me anyway eventually. The stories I hear about, especially with the money I was making at the time even, I have no doubt they would have found a way to get rid of me. But hearts go out to the people that lost their jobs. We'll see what happens for GameStop. It's not looking good. I hope they pull through, but we do have to move on to a couple other stories. Speaking of dicks in gaming, I just found out about this an hour before the show, and I don't know if you had talked about it on Nerd Up or if this is something you have read about at all, but what happened over the weekend with Apex Legends?
Yes, we didn't talk about it on Nerd Up, though.
So let me try to read here. It was a developer from Apex Legends named Drew McCoy, who went on Reddit to apologize for an in-game event called the Iron Crown, where apparently they had promised that anything that you would get would never be specific to loot boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And this event had things that were specific to loot boxes.
Yeah. Not just to loot boxes, but to these special event loot boxes so they're time sealed as well.
And he went on and he apologized for it, and people were as people were. Here's one response from a guy on Reddit, and this kind of gives you an idea of what we're dealing with when it comes to the toxic gamers. He said, after all the negative press and stuff like that, McCoy posted a thing that said, "We've said it before, we'll not engage with temper tantrums, personal attacks, or vitriolic threads are completely unacceptable. We took a look in the mirror this week and decided we hadn't met up obligations and are making changes because we believe in our approach. I've been in the industry long enough to remember when players weren't complete asshats to developers, and it was pretty neat. I forged a bunch of long-lasting relationships from back then. Would be awesome to get back there and not engaging with toxic people or asking how high when a mob screams jump is hopefully a start." And I agree with him. I really do. The gaming community has become incredibly toxic. And not that it wasn't toxic before.
Right.
It's before you didn't have access to the developers.
Right.
Now, thanks to Twitter and Instagram and stuff.
Because the time he's talking about it was they weren't assets to the developers because they couldn't speak to the developers.
Yeah.
There was no option
for it.
Yeah.
But people were still pissed. But I also do truly believe that gamers are more toxic now and they're more entitled.
Yeah.
For sure. When I was a kid playing games, and even into my young adulthood of like my early 20s, the feeling was so different versus what it is now. I started on a little game called Ultima Online, which is my favorite game of all time, hands down. I put more time into that. I forged friendships. One of my best friends ever I met, through there. And it was an online game where you interact with other people and you would kill each other sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, you would help each other out after you kill them. You'd resurrect them. You would give them some money or something. Like, there was a community, and some people were toxic, and people would band together to take them out. It was a great way. And I've seen that evolve into what it is today, where like, it almost feels like everybody's toxic. And I know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped on a game of Black Ops 4 when I bought it on Humble Bundle. And I decided, all right, well, I had it on Xbox One. I liked it. PC was only like $12. Sure, I'll give it a try for $12. So I played my very first online match. And my own teammate, as I crouched down in front of a window to help him kill people, he literally just said, "Get out of my way, faggot." And I was like, cool. I turned the game off and I haven't played it. I haven't played multiplayer since.
Yeah.
I can't.
And that's why
I apologize for using that word. I just wanted the context.
Right. That's why I don't like play with people that aren't you guys.
Yeah.
And that's one of the cool things about Kind of Funny is they have the squad up thing. And so you have, like-minded people there that you can meet up with. So you can find people to play games. But yeah, it is a just terribly toxic scene. And on the one hand, like, I think this isn't as cut and dry as a lot of people make it out to be, because like, a lot of people are saying that, no, finally the developer actually gets to stand up for themselves and say what they're really thinking. And then on the other hand, like, hey, you are representing your company. You have a job to interact with these people. You have to be more professional than that.
Right.
Where at the same time, like, yes, they absolutely had people who were crossing the line, personal attacks, death threats.
Death threats.
All of that insanity. Like, that's all death of that threats. Is too far. Going personal at all already, like, you've lost any semblance of having a good argument. Yeah, at a certain point, like, enough's enough, and you can throw all the tantrums and, be super toxic. But at the same time, like, as a company, EA is super shady at best.
They've won Worst Company of the Year at least two or three times in a row.
Yeah, over companies like Bank of America, Walmart, things like that.
Yeah.
But that's also a fan voted thing, and the internet, video game community loves it. They also have the number one most downvoted comment of all time on Reddit.
Which one was it?
The Battlefront 2 Sense of Achievement for
Oh yeah.
It takes like 50 hours to unlock a character.
Well, you get a sense of achievement for it though. Yeah.
But they said we are not going to ever do this thing. Then they did the thing.
Right.
You're in the wrong.
Yep.
And you kind of have to eat crow.
Right.
But at a certain point, like for me, it's weird that. So Mortal Kombat 11, I have the premium edition. I paid an extra $40 for the game to have all of the DLC. And when the DLC comes out, I get it a week early.
Right.
Before it's available for purchase. Nightwolf was supposed to come out last week and something happened and he was delayed.
It was a botched job.
Something got screwed up somewhere. They
botched that one.
They never really said what, which was a bummer, but so it came out late on PS4, but it didn't come out until like 1 a.m. the next day on Xbox. And I was annoyed. You guys did I Want to Believe, so I had the night off. Like, I didn't need to, like, so I had time to.
You could have played and enjoyed yourself.
The trailer looked really cool. Like, right. I wasn't excited for Nightwolf in general, but then I saw, like, his gameplay stuff, and I was like, ooh, I really want to give him a shot. And I couldn't. And I was annoyed. And I kind of thought about, like, going on Twitter and being like, hey, so what's going on? But at the same time, I'm like, why? Literally, there's already a million people.
They're getting hammered already.
That are asking it. And on top of that, like, people legitimate, I think I have a legitimate claim that, hey, I paid $40 for this thing. I should have a reasonable expectation to receive it with some sort of information other than we're working on it. Because they had like 3 updates in 10 hours.
But
thank you for your patience. We're trying.
But let me ask you, did you at any point like threaten their families?
See, no. And that's the thing is, it's like, so what's... Is it even worth me pointing out, like, hey, so this thing happened and I'm bummed? Because at what point am I just piling on to the masses, including the people who are being cruel and super unreasonable?
Right.
And it's just like, man, I don't want to be part of that mob mentality. So I just didn't say anything.
Right.
Like, you know,
because there was no need to. Publicly, you didn't have to pile on.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, I kind of wanted to express, like, hey, this is disappointing. Like, I've been supporting and defending NetherRealm for a very long time on some things that, you know, they've kind of pulled that have been a little bit on the shady side.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird thing. I will say though, do you ever watch any of the Inside Gaming Daily stuff?
I have in the past.
Yeah, the stuff. Well, they brought it back because when Machinima closed down, like the Funhouse people got that IP back or the channel back, or I don't know how it works. But so they put it out. They have a really good video on this where they're talking about like
the Nightwolf thing in specific.
No. The Apex Legends Reddit thread, because they talk about, you know, when someone's calling the. I remember when. We put out a certain, we have to make money, blah, blah, blah. Most of you guys are freeloaders. Like, that was another comment that they got hammered for. The full context, though, is immediately, that's immediately followed by, you guys are freeloaders and we love you all, because they just want someone playing their game.
Right.
And that gets twisted into the clickbaity headlines of Apex Legend devs
calls freeloaders,
free-to-play users freeloaders. And it's just like, oh, man, no. Because then you have a whole separate discussion of, as a corporate person, as someone representing a company, I get trying to lean into it and be a little cheeky and be a little fun and snarky in your own way, but like...
But it was maybe a misstep.
It doesn't really work. Like, did you hear any of the Ooblets developer thing?
No, I read someone talking about it, but I don't know what that is, and I don't know what it was.
PC Game.
Epic Game Store?
They announced that they are going Epic Game Store exclusive because... if they take this money from Epic, it means they don't have to hit a certain amount of games sold to not have to fire someone, to not have to lay someone off.
But people
are
pissed
guaranteed
about it.
Their money, but because there's this big stigma about the Epic Games Store, which is a whole other conversation, people are going to be pissed about it. So they leaned into it and they like said, "Hey, yeah," and they did kind of a smart ass, you know, announcement about it, and it went very badly. Like, it went very badly for them.
It's one of those things. I have faced it many, many times on a store manager level at both here and GameStop, where when customers come in and are unreasonable.
Yeah.
They're unreasonable. It's not that they may even have a legitimate gripe, but they are so unreasonable in their approach that as a manager, it's my job to defuse the situation, even if I have to take a little abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I've had employees, though, that the moment someone gets in their face and wants to get shitty with them, they want to get shitty back and, like, stand up for themselves. And I get that, but I've always been the one, and you've said it before, you don't understand how I'm so patient with people sometimes, that you, a lot of people say they couldn't do what I do because I am so forgiving and I am so, like, trying to make peace with everybody.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's really hard. And it gets to a point where, like, you want to stop. And when I saw some of the comments that they were making at this one guy, especially the fact that the Respawn CEO came out and apologized for it all, I almost don't want him to, because you can only take so much abuse before you kind of have to give it back a little bit. I don't want to get political, but it's that whole Donald Trump thing where, like, this is what Trump's camp is doing. This is the attacks they make. This is how personal they make it. And then you have their opponents trying to stay above it. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to drop down to the same name calling, lies, and stuff like that. But at some point, you have to fight fire with fire. Because sometimes it almost looks like you're a bitch just taking it and you won't fight back.
Right.
And when the developers get pushed around and pushed around like this, and people are cussing at them, threatening their families and stuff, you almost want to see someone come out and say, no, you're a dick. Stop being a dick. It won't accomplish anything. In fact, all it's going to do is harm their bottom line, probably. Mm-hmm. But I hate that that's even a conversation we have to have.
And just the amount of people that are so unreasonable and just, like, explicit and rude and just hateful and ignorant. Like, why? Yeah. Like, what is the point of that?
Yeah, it doesn't make you look tough. The internet's never made anyone look tough.
Yeah.
Ever.
It is an unfortunate situation in general, but yeah, it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you could have handled it better, because again, like, that's kind of your job. If you were the community manager,
you got to manage the community.
You have to, you know, that what your job is to be on the internet,
right?
You know who's on the internet.
Yes.
People.
Yes.
And people suck.
People suck hard.
So you have to, like, manage that.
Right. And it's
like, people suck almost as bad as Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Dude, we're gonna get to it. That's next. It's a thankless job, because the people that are in charge that will get onto you for responding poorly will never thank you for responding the right way, because that's your job.
Right.
When you do your job well and people are abusing you, no one will say, hey, thanks for handling that correctly. They just go, that's what you were supposed to do. But the moment you slip up, they will attack you and say, you did a poor job. It's terrible.
I genuinely wish you had more time to listen to, like, the kind of funny stuff, because, like, their whole thing is the silent majority of, you know, yes, like, you were getting your teeth kicked in by this small group of people on Reddit over this thing that, again, you screwed up. Like, EA, Respawn, whoever, like, they screwed up here. Like, they did a thing that they should not have done, and then they handled it poorly on top of that. Like, you got to take some lumps there. But at the same time, like, if they're coming out, and I'm not familiar enough with how they're addressing it. Like, if, you know, if it's a thing where now you can earn things, like, through game time or whatever it is. But, like, if they've addressed it in a way that deserves it, like you said, no one is coming out and saying, hey, okay, you screwed up, good job. Look at Battlefront 2. Like, we've talked about it on the shows, but, like, they've kind of turned that around especially from, like, what the original plan was to what the game is now. Yeah. And it's like,
and people still give them shit for the stuff they did wrong.
For what they did initially, like, while not willing to acknowledge, like, because, like, even I, like, I'll make jokes about it, but at the same time, like, this is a pretty big screw up. Like, you're going, again, you're going to take those lumps. But at the same time, like, I'm not actively being crappy towards those developers, and, like, I acknowledge that, you know, the game's turned around.
Yeah,
like,
I think Fallout 76 is the same way, where
hopefully one day Anthem will be too.
Well, you know, Hunter and I were talking about that earlier today, because we were talking about how I mentioned that Anthem is your Fallout 76, basically. It's your Star Wars. And they have done Fallout 76, not so much. Like, they're trying, but they're still trying to find their feet.
Right.
Star Wars has done a great job of, like, building the community up again and rebuilding their fan base. Mm-hmm. I think they've done a great job. I want Anthem to do that, but I'm so afraid that they're going to let it die.
And then plus, like, the lead developer just left.
Vemoost.
So yeah. It could either, it's either, okay, he's gone, so now either someone who, like, really cares and really wants to do a good job can step in and, like, fill his shoes and take it in a good the direction it needs to go. Or this is EA's, like, oh, well, I mean, we lost him too, so might as well just kind of slowly back it into the bush, and no one's going to notice that. Talking about, like,
we're going to leave the Anthem servers up for you guys that haven't beaten it yet, and then, hey, yeah, look, new cosmetic items.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hope it does. I really do, because I also enjoyed Anthem. We all played it.
It was so much fun.
I convinced Bob to get it.
It is so much fun. I haven't played it in forever, but, like, because it's...
Because what's the point?
Yeah.
Like...
The loot's so screwed up, but Borderlands 3 is coming out, and...
And there's the Redeemer, hopefully. I'm
happy. Oh, but so my original point, though, was like, so the thing with Kind of Funny is Greg Miller specifically, like, talks about don't be the silent majority. Mm-hmm. Be a vocal force of good.
Yeah.
So if a dev does something that you like, say it, like, tag them on something on Twitter.
Yeah.
If a content creator, a writer, a producer, a video maker, if there's someone who's doing something that you think is good, go out of your way to say that, because so many people, like, you know, myself included, like, just kind of like, oh yeah, I enjoyed that, and move on.
They don't take the time out.
They don't take the time to go out to go out and you know, do the good thing.
But the people
that
aren't happy do.
I was gonna say, but do you know who does take the time out to do those? It's the same thing with, like, the guest satisfaction surveys at Red Lobster. Like, those were a nightmare, because the only people who take the time to fill that out and spend the time to do that are the people who are mad.
Yeah. I think Dalton is a good example of this, and myself, me and Dalton both. When we started being a in the ring personalities on CCW, mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many negative things I read about myself, and Dalton too. I know he's also read a couple things that he wasn't happy about. And there was a time, I don't know about him, I can't say, but where I didn't want to do it just because I thought, is this worth it? Is it worth being told I'm awful for, you know, what it is? So every time someone says something nice about me, I don't think they realize how much that means to me. Like, legitimately, I might not send thank you cards out to every single person. I don't know, you feel the same way whenever people compliment the commentary, when they compliment the interviews. It's something that you really hold near and dear to your heart.
I would.
What?
Yeah.
But I've complimented you.
Yeah, you have. I mean, like, I joke.
People have complimented you. Come on.
It's usually because I've talked about their, like, I'm talking about them.
Well, I mean, fans too, to be fair. But yeah, it means a lot to take time out and to not just complain about things, but to also go, hey, you're all right.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that.
That's something that I've, and I know, like, Chad Smart also does, like, something with the positive cynicism stuff. Like, he was doing the Days of Gratitude and things like that. That's something I kind of want to steal. I'm thinking about stealing that for September.
I would like to. Yeah, that's a good idea. I think we should all do that in September. Just 30 days or 31 or 32. I don't know how many is in September. Maybe 27.
Yeah, it's 27.
27,
right.
Yeah. We'll post, like, who we're thankful for. My list is going to be like, that's true. I have a lot of people I'm thankful for.
That was the thing. It's like, I needed to make a Google Doc just so I would have it ready to go.
Yeah, because then you'll forget that one person and they will message you. Oh, okay. All right. Before we get out of here, because we only have about 10, 15 minutes left, depending on how long it takes Allie to get here to pick me up.
Do you need me to take you home?
No, she's coming after work.
Okay.
That's fine. Big news today. Big news. Maybe. If it's not...
Depending on...
If it's not if it's not redone... What's the word I'm trying
to... Updated.
Updated.
It's because all... Because even the initial, like, the two sites that I went to cover it, they both have major updates.
And here was the story that broke earlier. I saw it on IGN. Wow, I totally hit Bridget. I saw it on IGN.
IGN.
Marvel and Sony could not come to an agreement on Spider-Man. And it looks like the deal is off the table. Spider-Man is no longer part of the MCU. I had the hiccups.
Say psych.
I wasn't pausing for dramatic effect. Huh?
Say psych right now.
Are you kidding?
Say psych.
Psych.
Oh, it's not true? Oh, you said it. You said it's not true. We're good. It's fine. End of show.
Did they? You're joking, right?
No. That's my reaction to that. Oh, is just like, no, say you're lying.
Oh, I thought you, because you're looking at your phone. I thought you had already seen an update. That said, no, never I'm trying mind. To. No, Sony pissed themselves and came crawling back to Marvel and said, please, no Steppy.
Please, no Steppy. No, I'm on my phone because I'm trying to find the actual. I'm trying to find that article again.
Yeah.
Because, no, that's not okay. So, stop it.
So we had while he's looking at that, real quick, we'll mention we had a kind of a list. I made a list of best to worst Spider-Man movies that aren't part of the MCU, because I think it was you that mentioned Sony's going to do a bad job of Spider-Man.
No, so because like it was like 70% real, 30% joking.
Mm-hmm.
But like, because Hunter posted something about like, oh, well, no, now Sony's just going to make like the, let me see if I can find it, because it was, I feel like it wasn't that too long ago. Because I'm not excited for a
Sony,
not
specific.
Kevin Feige MCU Sony right. specific,
and that got a conversation started about Spider-Man movies outside of the MCU.
Make no mistake, they will keep making these movies. It's just if they don't reach a deal, the ones going forward will no longer be tied to the MCU. So in all caps, I responded with, "No, I don't want that. I want another movie not done by Sony. They suck at Spider-Man movies."
And I I jokingly took offense to that. I wasn't actually offended, of course, because what do I care?
Right.
Like, but I still think that Spider-Man 2 is the best Spider-Man movie.
See, and I don't
pound for pound, I think it's the best.
I don't think those hold up as well.
I think two does. I think three definitely does. Actually, no.
Three, you know, sucked in general. Like,
Bob and I were talking about this last night. I still think three is a good movie. Like, it had a lot of good stuff in it, but it also had a lot of dumb stuff in it. As opposed to Amazing Spider-Man 2,
a lot of Sony getting dumb. A lot of Sony getting involved in Sam Raimi's
That's
vision.
True. That is absolutely true.
That no, you're putting Venom in this.
And they sure did, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They did. Well, now they can at least put the established Venom in a Spider-Man movie. Because the same people, at least.
Because
the only trick they have up their sleeve.
The way I understand the story is that, so they could potentially still have Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
He's like, got one more deal, movie on his deal with Sony.
So
Sony can make another Spider-Man movie with him.
It's just not going, they're just not going to be able to mention Thanos, Tony, right. Iron, like any of the Marvel, any of the MCU stuff. It'll have to be completely 100% separate, which sucks. Like, how much time and energy did they just spend to establish Peter Parker as the new Tony Stark, kind of?
Well, my question on that is not even on that level. Like, let's drop it down a little bit. Can they use some of the characters that were created through the deal? Like, this new Mary Jane, can she even be in a Sony-specific movie? Because she's not a part...
Because she's not Mary Jane, she's MJ.
Right. So can she... Can the... I don't remember his best friend's name. I don't remember his name. But can his best friend be
is
in
it? Ben? Yeah, like Ben. Yeah, it's things like that where it is.
So some of those characters.
No, it's Uncle Ben. Not...
Like, yes, I don't definitely know. Uncle Ben. Can they use those characters? Because if you have a Tom Holland Spider-Man and you even keep him the same character,
right.
You just don't reference the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some glaring omissions if you can't use these characters.
It's not going to work. It is just there is no way to do this well.
Right.
And I'm sorry, like I know Venom made $1 billion almost, like $800 million, I think. I know a lot of people enjoyed that movie, but it was not a good movie.
It wasn't. And I agree with you. I liked it, but like...
And let's be perfectly honest. They just announced, 2 weeks ago that Andy Serkis is going to be the director of Venom 2.
And he says it's going to be amazing.
Venom 2 that comes out in October 2020. Just named your director for a movie that comes out in 14 months?
Wow. Yeah, I never really thought about it. Because I'm used to that Ghostbusters thing where it's like, Ghostbusters coming next summer. This is the first I've heard about it.
Yeah.
You don't even have the actors and it's coming out in a year.
Yeah.
Really?
Like that is, I don't like that.
No.
That makes me a little itchy.
So, and now, hey, good news, Spider-Man could be in it.
And I know like in the group chat, Jesse and Hunter were talking about like, there's no way this doesn't, like this sticks. And I kind of agree. Like, I genuinely think that they will come to some, there's too much money for everyone to be made.
Right.
That there's no way that it doesn't. That they don't come to some sort of agreement, especially with like now there's all these conspiracy theories that like this was leaked intentionally by someone to stir up the internet to force them to come together or to force whichever side leaked it. Like,
oh, so it's like Avengers where they faked.
this is them.
He's
killing Coulson.
Yeah,
they killed Spider-Man. So now he's just gonna have a Disney Plus show instead. They're gonna bring it back that way. I don't know. Don't do it.
So here was the ranking, by the way.
This was your ranking. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Spider-Man movies of Shannon Young are his alone.
But
and
are
do
mostly.
Do not represent Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man or Podzilla 1985 as a whole.
But I think are mostly like agreed upon for the most part. So
you're wrong.
Because I
saw this list.
When he said, Sony makes sucky movies, I thought Spider-Man 2 was great. And I still think Spider-Man 2, and this is all personal opinion. It really is.
Up until the MCU movies, it was the best live-action Spider-Man had come out.
And I don't know what it is. I really don't. I wish I could put my finger on it. But something about Spider-Man in the MCU, maybe it's because we didn't get the standard origin story.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get Uncle Ben. We didn't get anything of that. Something about it always felt off to me. It almost felt like they shoehorned the character in quickly just so they could. And they did a good job with him, but I never felt a connection to him on an emotional level.
Do you need to see Uncle Ben die again?
I don't. I don't in the same way that I don't need to see Bruce Wayne's parents die every
movie. You don't want to see the pearls fall?
Not every freaking film, but... For whatever reason, I still put Spider-Man 2 above all of the Spider-Man movies. That's just a personal opinion. I don't question anyone that disagrees. That's just me. From Spider-Man 2, I put Into the Spider-Verse right below that, mostly for nostalgia factor. I think Into the Spider-Verse is a better movie, but Spider-Man 2 hit me at the right time.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is legitimate. Very well could be my favorite superhero movie of all time.
It's
not
really,
Spider-Man
really
movie,
good.
Not Marvel movie, superhero movie. like Dark Knight. This I left that theater with such a joy in my heart.
Fantastic.
That but, I cannot, but I do think that it's because it was animated, because they were able to do that really crazy, outlandish,
that really stylish animation. And
watching the previews, if you go back and listen to those Nerd Ups, whenever that like trailer first came out, I was kind of down on it.
I did not
like that art style.
Yeah, but they killed it.
But they killed it, and it had so much heart.
Well, see, and that's Spider-Man 2 has probably my favorite. It's my favorite Spider-Man scene for sure. The scene where
the roof jump.
No,
what's
no
up danger. Oh.
No. His Aunt May, when she's talking about the night Uncle Ben died, mm-hmm. and Peter Parker for the first time admits to her that he was there and it was his fault, and he takes blame for it, and she just kind of walks away from him. Such an emotional impact, I think, in that part. To me, that was like the quintessential. I don't know, that had the most emotion for me. That part right there, and then the end of Spider-Man 3, for all the shit we give it, with Harry dying. And like Harry died for one, that was crazy. And it ends on such a downer. The funeral, him and Mary Jane trying to rebuild their broken life. Like I get people say, well, that Spider-Man's not as fun. And they're right. They didn't capture that like boyish essence of Spider-Man. But not everything has to be the same. This can be a different Spider-Man.
The whole Mary Jane was terrible in the Raimi trilogy. She was a prop.
What do you mean by okay?
She was a
prop. You don't mean the actress was terrible.
No,
you
no.
Mean,
but
okay.
She well in some scenes. No, Spider-Man was the prop. Never mind. Because there's the scene where she's literally holding onto a mannequin.
With the upside down kiss?
No. Like, it's him holding her, like, and they're swinging through the city.
Yeah.
And she is genuinely holding onto a mannequin.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But no, she doesn't really have any character of her own.
Other than just being Mary
Jane.
Even
their relationship is super weird. We didn't really know each other at all. And then we re-met in our senior year of high school. And now it's this huge deal. Because it has to be, because we're neighbors. The Harry dynamic was off. Like going back and rewatching those movies, I kind of wish I hadn't.
Oh, see, I disagree. I disagree on that. I don't think they've never nailed.
And like him with it, him and the like, and also amnesia is a trope I hate.
Okay, that was bad. The butler coming forth later and saying like, I knew your father. He did all these terrible things. You couldn't have said something earlier,
right? Like,
but. Anyway, I still think Spider-Man 2 is great. My list continuing, because I want to get this out at least. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man 2, Into the Spider-Verse, and then you go into the good one, which to me was the original Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Then the also good one, Amazing Spider-Man.
It was unoffensive.
Amazing?
Yeah.
It was there, and I thought Lizard was cool, other than the human face. But
yeah, that was great.
It was an interesting take. They actually had Gwen Stacy as opposed to just jumping right to Mary Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, you get into the... what I call the unfortunate category, which is Spider-Man 3, where I really liked a lot of things I did. Sandman was awesome. But there was so much stuff in it that I didn't like that I can't back it up. And then the absolute worst Spider-Man movie is Amazing Spider-Man 2. And I think only Jesse will argue that with me.
Yeah, no, because Jesse hates Spider-Man 3 so much that it, like, I think that it propels Amazing Spider-Man, like, an extra, like, couple spots. I loved Sandman until they did... the absolutely unnecessary, ignorant, he was the one that killed Uncle Ben. He had a strong enough story on his own. You didn't need to throw that idiotic wrinkle into it.
I agree, and I remember being upset during the previews and thinking, like, that seems like a pretty major thing that they wouldn't tell them until they absolutely had to. It's like the butler. Like, we will give you this exposition when we have to.
Yeah.
But until then, it doesn't even count. There were a lot of missteps with Part 3, but I still find the movie to be more enjoyable than
Amazing Spider-Man
2.
I don't know if you said it, is that was your Spider-Man list, not counting the MCU.
Not counting the MCU.
Because
when it comes to the MCU...
yours aren't below Spider-Man 3 and Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I would probably put Far From Home above... Homecoming, I think most people would.
Oh, that one's hard for me. That one's real, because we talked about that after I saw it. And I was like, they're different movies.
They're very different movies,
and so it's hard for me to like.
Well, see, I loved Vulture,
and same thing with the villains, because Dalton. That was the big thing. Dalton and I were talking about because I think Dalton, and he can correct me if I'm wrong when he goes back and listens to this, but I think Dalton liked Vulture more than Mysterio. But to me, they had such different motivations.
Completely different.
It was hard for me. It's hard for me to say that, or maybe he did the thing where he's like, I liked one better. Like, I think one was better than the other, but I liked the other one more, even though I think the other one's a better villain, like, type deal.
I would agree with that, because I think Mysterio was a better villain.
Mm-hmm.
because, but I like Vulture more, and I think I like Vulture as the villain more because the same reason I like Spider-Man 2. He's a sympathetic villain in the same way Doc Ock was. Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2 is my abs, and I've never read Superior Spider-Man or anything, so this is speaking just from a movie standpoint and stuff, but Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2 was my favorite version of Doc Ock because he was sympathetic. You could understand his motivation. Same thing with Vulture. Whereas Mysterio, even though I could still understand his motivation, he wasn't as redeemable as Vulture and Dr. Octopus was.
Same thing with
Green Goblin in the first movie, and then I guess Sandman was redeemable and sympathetic, but I just didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Honestly. I love Thomas Hayden Church, but I didn't give a shit.
And that said, there is something to be said about having a villain who isn't just a sympathetic figure.
Right. Sometimes they also have to be threatening.
Because sometimes it is nice just to have a bad guy. Because don't get me wrong, I like when there is a sympathetic villain, when you're kind of like Thanos in Infinity War. There is a little bit of it where it's just like, is he wrong though?
Where you can almost see it. Or Magneto. Magneto's like, I can see why he's doing the things he's doing.
But at the same time, there is something enjoyable to be said about someone who's just like, no, you know what? You're just a dick.
Only if they're compelling, though. But I thought
Mysterio was compelling.
He was. But I mean, if you look at a lot of the MCU villains, like Red Skull.
Oh, it's one of their flaws of just like having that kind of cookie cutter, just basic clone version of the hero.
Thor villains, pretty much, except for Dark World.
Oh, easy there.
What, which one are you?
Are you talking about like Loki? Or?
No, not counting Loki.
Okay.
I'm talking about like, there was the, oh God, I don't even remember them.
The Dark Elves.
The Dark Elves, like that's how unimportant they were.
You will put some respect on Malekith's name.
But like Jeff Goldblum was cool in Dark World. He was
in Ragnarok.
What did I say? Dark World?
Dark World,
my
apologies. That was the Dark Elves.
But yeah, this is big. If Sony is taking Spider-Man back, I think they can make a good Spider-Man movie. But it's not going to be the same. And I think most people now they want MCU Spider-Man. They don't want Spider-Man in his own movie.
You've given us the taste.
You can't take
him
back.
We're hooked. You can't go back on that.
Imagine if they pulled any other hero.
I wish that...
Captain America is no longer a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything like that. It's just Captain America movies now. You've opened the door. You can't close the door.
I mean...
Especially after Far From Home.
See, and that's the thing. Like, that's the difference is because they kind of did just pull Captain America.
But with a storyline ending.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, but now, they've wrapped him up. Whereas, we're not getting any more Iron Man movies, but that's fine. Whereas now it's like, no, the way Far From Home ended and like just how much more there was to do with that character.
Right.
It's in that universe.
Which,
I have
a conspiracy theory.
Go for it.
So I'm thinking about it. So Sony said a year ago, maybe it was 2 years ago, I think it was last year, that they didn't know if they were going to make any more sequels past the sequel to Homecoming, right?
Right.
No spoilers. But if you know how Far From Home ends, Far From Home ends very much in the sense that Spider-Man could go underground and leave all of his friends and family behind. They have Tom Holland for a Spider-Man movie, one more. They could make another movie completely independent of the MCU where he's the same character, and you don't have to have the same characters in the movie because of what happened in Far From Home. He's estranged from them. He's on the run.
But I don't think they can mention it.
But like, they don't have to.
I think that's
they can just have Spider-Man show up in San Francisco and be like, why are you here? I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's something...
And then it'll make $1 billion because everybody will go like, oh, this is a continuation of Far From Home?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's something that some people have been talking about. If it's just like, no, I mean, you have a way of like, they're going to have to hand wave him out of just like, you know, like how they're like, well, why can't you get Thor off world? Captain Marvel, unavailable.
What about Spider? We don't say his name around here anymore.
What about the Spider Kid?
What about the bug guy?
Since New York, he's been underground. No one's seen or heard from him.
Right. And if Sony's not completely shitty, they'll let him. They'll at least let him do that.
I don't think they can stop them from that, but... Who knows? I don't know. I want them to come to an agreement. I hope that we get more Spider-Man in the MCU because of how Spider-Man is a very critical character to the heart of Marvel as a whole.
Yeah.
And we were really kind of like Endgame and Infinity War really gave us that in the MCU. And to have that taken away is a huge loss. And no one will ever convince me that Sony on their own accord without input from Marvel as part of that shared MCU world will be able to do anything as good.
And far
on their
from,
on their own built like pure Spider-Verse.
Far From Home finally hooked me because as much as I liked Homecoming, it didn't hook me emotionally into the character. Like the stuff he did with Vulture was cool and I appreciated it, but there was no real emotional punch per se. But the end of Far From Home really gutted me. And I'm like, I want to know what happens to Peter Parker now. I want to know where this journey goes. And I think Homecoming lacked that, but this definitely had it. I mean, my God, it was so big. And
well, because Homecoming had a more traditional ending of everything was kind of with a
everything's
bow.
Everything's great. Yeah.
And now it's like...
Everything's not great. Freaking J.K. Simmons back as J. Jonah Jameson? Are you kidding me?
Well, that's a spoiler.
In the Spider-Man Raimi films was the best J. Jonah Jameson.
It's fine. If you haven't seen Far From Home at this point.
And I don't think that's a huge spoiler that J. Jonah Jameson's in it. I won't say what he did. But yeah, it's a huge thing for them. Now, that's where we're going to end the story. Only because by Sunday, this story can take a dramatic turn.
Yeah, no. There's already been like multiple updates because it was originally like, hey, the deal is off the table. It's done. Kevin Feige is no longer a producer on these movies. And Marvel can't use him in the MCU. Sony is now using the Spider-Man property all their own, but they can't use MCU stuff.
Right.
And now it's, well, no, negotiations aren't totally closed. It's just they've kind of reached a standstill because they, you know, everyone wants more money.
I mean, remember.
And honestly, it's like Disney. You have literally had, what, 4 movies hit $1 billion?
We talked about
just
on Thursday.
This year.
6 of the top 10 movies this year are Disney.
Yeah. And they, like I said, they've had at least four hit $1 billion, including Spider-Man.
Yep.
Why don't you just give Sony like $3 billion for all of the spider rights?
Right.
For get Venom, get the symbiote, get all of these other characters.
Get Morbius.
The last of these characters that you're sitting on, and just give them. Like, let us have them.
Let us do something good with
them. Hunter and Jesse were joking in the group chat, like, well, maybe Disney will just buy Sony. That would be one. That deal will never happen. world's
Sony's
on fire.
Sony's way too big, yeah.
The world's on fire. Who knows? But, like, no, I don't want Disney to just be the movie company.
Right. I don't want Disney to own everything. Because then they will be be the corporation in every video game you've ever played.
Yeah.
Where they're the bad guy. They're Shinra. Yeah. You know, they're the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Remember, they said James Gunn was gone, and absolutely. And then James Gunn's back.
But I don't want that. But now we have to wait so long for the new Guardians movie. I need my resolution now, damn it.
And that's where we're going to end it. We'll see by Sunday, or maybe even Thursday. Shit. We'll see what happens.
Who knows?
We'll see what happens with Spider-Man. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Huge, huge show.
Yeah, it's a pretty significant week.
Big announcements coming out about wrestling this week. We're going to cover all that tomorrow, including NXT and other big things. NXT is the big one, I think. Is there a bigger one?
No, I mean, that's the biggest one.
The biggest one.
But there's some...
And we'll go in depth about that because we definitely have some thoughts.
Yep.
And then, of course, Thursday is After Dark, and there'll be a lot of fun. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Asa does as well. And Allie does, too. She just joined in. Allie, say hi.
Hello.
Hey, got it. We want to thank you for tuning in tonight. And what do you think? What do you think about a couple of these things? GameStop, what are your thoughts? Apex Legends and the huge brouhaha about that. What are your thoughts? And then, of course, Spider-Man. What do you think about that? And is my list correctly? Do you think Spider-Man 2 is the best Spider-Man film? Is it Into the Spider-Verse? Is it one of the Marvel films? What do you think the best Spider-Man movie is? I want to know. Message me, message us, email us, whatever you got to do. Until tomorrow, for myself, for Asa, for Allie, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you on PWU later.